Times, and CNN, to name only a few. Credit for the recording of Paul Street goes to Dale Lehman of WZRD Radio in Chicago. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. Look at the newest programs or the podcast page. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening.
This is WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Time of Useful Consciousness airs every Thursday at 5 on WEFT Community Radio, followed by CUTC at the Show coming up next with its very first inaugural episode. Stay with us after that for Surfability Freakout at 6 p.m., Alter Ego in the evening at 7 p.m., Roots Rock and Reggae at 8 p.m., and Freedom Music at 10 p.m. All right, welcome to the first episode of See You at the Show. We are broadcasting worldwide from Champaign, Illinois. I'm Eric Schacht, and you're listening to our very first episode. This is going to be a weekly exploration of all things related to community theater in Champaign-Urbana. As a brief little intro, we are fortunate to live in this area where community theater is appreciated and thriving. But one of the voids that we're hoping to fill is that there are various theater groups that operate largely in this magnificent shadow of Krannert and the University of Illinois. And maybe because of that, all the little theater groups, while thriving, are kind of decentralized and a little fragmented. So what this show hopes to do is to be like an agnostic, neutral show where we're just enthusiastic about all things theater, about all community theater groups, about school theater. We bring you information about what's going on, what's coming up next, and how you can get involved. And we're just kind of finding our footing with this, and I'm very welcome to getting input from theater community or just enthusiasts of theater in the community about what you want to hear on the air or what resources I can help make available. You can reach me by email at cuattheshow@gmail.com. You can go to our website, cuattheshow.com, which will actually just redirect you to our Facebook page for now. But mainly find us on Facebook. That's where you will be able to get all of the audition information, all of the now playing information, all of the coming soon information, as well as kind of like reviews and featurettes and information about other opportunities and ongoings in the community. And in addition to promoting the local community theater companies like The Station and Parkland and CUTC and Twin City Theater Company, we're also going to emphasize the community youth theater, as I said, both through the schools, but also through the amazing parks departments that we have here. The Champaign Park District and the Urbana Park District both run fantastic junior acting programs, and I'm sure that some of the actors that I will be bringing in here to talk about their adult performances actually came up through the local junior theater community. We have wonderful resources in town like Class Act that I will sometimes give information on, which combines both training and performance. So that's kind of the mission statement of the show, and that's what I want to bring to you. So the first thing I'm going to talk about is what sort of opportunities there are available right now to get involved. There are auditions. One that was just released today by the CUTC Theater Company is doing Wizard of Oz. Auditions for that are going to be Saturday, April 27th, and Sunday, April 28th. If you're interested in that, that will be, I don't yet have the information about how they're casting it, but that's an opportunity for adults that is coming up, and you go to cutheaterco.org for more information. I imagine you can also find it on their Facebook page. The other two acting opportunities are for juniors. Just this weekend, there will be the CUTC student production of Beauty and the Beast, which is holding auditions from April 13th through the 15th. If you're interested in that, go to their, they have a Facebook event page about that. Again, that's the CU Champaign-Urbana Theater Company, CUTC. Also, the Urbana Park District will be auditioning for Into the Woods on April 19th through the 22nd. They also have a Facebook event page. Look them up, UPD Youth Theater. The other two notes that I have are, if you're interested in directing a play, you still have about 3 or 4 days to put a submission together for the Station Theater's fall season. If you just have an idea for a show, or if you're interested in directing a show, you can go to stationtheater.com and go to the Get Involved tab, and there you will see how you can submit a proposal for a show and or to direct a show. It's a great opportunity to get your input into and your footprint onto the local theater scene. One last announcement of ways to get involved is there's a playwriting competition that is taking place out in Monticello, run by the Monticello Theater Association. They're taking submissions for short 10-minute plays. I know some of the people involved. It seems like it will be a very good opportunity if you've got your creative juices that you've never had the right forum to submit them to. This is the one. Go to mtaplaywritingcompetition@gmail.com, or you can go to the MonticelloTheater.org website. All right, and so the next thing I'd like to talk about is what's currently playing. And excitingly, there's kind of only one show in town this weekend. And I am very lucky to have here in the theater with me two of the very important people in the production of Young Frankenstein, which is playing at Parkland. They opened last weekend, and we have two more weekends of shows coming up. I am joined in the theater by the director of Young Frankenstein, Chelsea Collier. Hi, Chelsea.
Hey, Eric.
And a very fine young actor who I had not seen before this show named Braden Wambach. Hi, Braden.
How's it going?
It's going great. So thank you two for coming in. I'm not going to try to dominate the discussion of this show as much as I want to, because I'm kind of a fanboy after seeing it one time. But Chelsea, as the director, mm-hmm. why don't you tell us about the show. What is Young Frankenstein about?
Well, so many people might recognize the title of the show. It is based on the 1974 Mel Brooks movie by the same name that starred Gene Wilder. And this adaptation appeared on Broadway. It was done with Brooks's blessing and his input, his direct input. So a lot of the material is the same, but there's a lot of added music that was not in the original film. There are some new gags, some new characters. It's the plot of the show very closely mimics the movie. So essentially, the Victor Frankenstein, the maker of the famous Frankenstein monster, has died. And his grandson, Frederick, is his only living relative and gets a summons to come to Transylvania and take over his grandfather's estate. He's not very thrilled about the idea. He's been trying to live down the family legacy of crazy mad scientists for his entire life. But he goes, and when he arrives in Transylvania, he meets an amazing cast of characters, including Igor, the grandchild of the first doctor's assistant, Igor, and meets a new lab assistant, Inga, and the housekeeper, Frau Blücher.
So how big is the cast? How many people are involved in this production on stage?
I believe we have 27 on stage, and we have an additional offstage voice in one of our scenes, a very ghost-like presence.
Yes. And did that voice make the credits? I actually forgot to look at that.
It did. Our voice of Victor Frankenstein is Noah Larson, who some of the listeners may know as a music director for several shows in the area, including shows with the station. Noah is also playing percussion in our pit, which is why he does not appear on stage for the number.
Okay, so you didn't record him for that. He does that
live
every time.
No, he's doing it live, yep.
Okay. And so is this, how many shows have you directed here in Champaign? I know you're a very accomplished local actress.
Thank you.
But I've never seen anything you've directed before. How many other shows have you directed?
This is my first one in the area. I've done two musicals and a stage play in Danville, and I've helped with some stage management production credits of that nature also in Danville. So this is, I've done, as you said, a number of acting work over here, but this is my first time directing in CU. So it's very exciting to be able to do that on the Parkland stage. That's been a dream of mine to work there.
Well, this is a very ambitious kind of like first
undertaking. It's a big one.
because there is, I've never directed a show before, but as I was watching this, I was trying to imagine what it would be like. And to have a cast that big doing so many different things, it must have been complicated to think about how much control you have and then how much freedom you give the actors just to be the actors. Do you have any sort of like comment for me on how you balance that?
Oh, sure. I mean, Braden can attest to the fact that there were many times when I was blocking a group scene for the first time when I would just stand back and be like, there's just so many of you. I don't quite know what to do here. So we would just kind of figure it out as we go. I was very lucky to have help from our music director, Cheryl Forrest Morganson, and our fantastic choreographer, Whitney Hayvice, who is much more accustomed to dealing with very large groups. She's done a lot of local theater here. She's been a dance instructor for a number of years. So large groups are kind of her specialties.
And Whitney's in the show also, correct?
She is. She is a featured dancer in the show as well. That's been really great because if we need to adjust something on the fly, she's right there and able to help with that as far as the dancers are concerned.
Yeah, I've seen other work that she's choreographed, and I know that she's actually also simultaneously choreographing the show at Franklin Middle School right now, where they're doing Aladdin, and I saw one of those numbers yesterday where she was working through a big number just for the first time, and she was able to take 15 kids or so that had never done the steps for this song before and never blocked the song before, and I was only there for half an hour, and at the end they nailed it. So she's very, very talented, and you're lucky to have her.
Absolutely.
She can dance too.
She sure can.
So Braden, how introduce yourself to me as an actor. What is your acting resume?
I actually got my start at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan, Illinois. My first show that I did was Willy Wonka. I played Grandpa George in that, and I got to just lay in a bed the entire show, so it was very, very nice. But I've done shows here in Champaign. I was in Seven Brides for Seven Brothers through CUTC, along with Pirates of Penzance, and then I moved to Springfield over about two summers ago, and I did Newsies, the Midwest regional premiere over there, through the Legacy Theater, and last summer I did the Muni in Springfield, and I did Legally Blonde and Little Shop of Horrors. And then really I've just been doing shows as much as I can since fourth grade. So
are you in Champaign now?
I'm attending Parkland College right now.
Okay, that's great. And so you kind of carry, I'm actually surprised to find out that you're only a student, because I think you have kind of a like an onstage presence of a more mature sort of a person.
And,
which I guess you need to have for the character,
but
I also kind of bought into you as being a little bit more of an older soul. And I guess if you jumped right into acting as Grandpa,
you kind of
had to be old at a very early age.
I told Braden about a week ago before a run of the show that he reminds me a lot in every positive way of Mickey Rooney, who's a favorite actor of mine. And it's like, he just has this very boyish quality to him, but he's such a workhorse. He comes in and he is one of the most hardworking, cheerful actors I've ever worked with. Everything we threw at him, he's like, yeah, I can do that. And it's like, yeah, okay, we need you to tap dance for 3 hours. And he's like, yeah, I can do that. And he would walk out every rehearsal with a smile on his face and just take everything that we handed to him with a lot of grace and a maturity to him.
Well, I know we're just on radio, but I want to assure our listeners that Braden looks nothing like Mickey Rooney.
He does not.
Because I know that if that were like a quote unquote compliment given to me that I remind somebody of Mickey Rooney, I might have had some anxiety for a little while. I have very conscious of the comparisons that are made to me. You know, it's interesting that your resume is really strong. And have you had lead roles typically in most of those shows?
In Seven Brides, I played Gideon, mm-hmm. Which is the youngest brother. And then really my only, I've had supporting roles here and there. Really the biggest one besides Gideon that I had was I was Donkey in Shrek the Musical my junior year in high school at Charleston High School. So that's really, I've just been waiting and working, I guess.
Yeah, well, this one seemed really, I'm not familiar with the musical in any other way other than uh-huh. having just seen it, but it seems as though your flexibility and versatility as a singer is really important. And I was actually worried about your voice at some times because the songs, most of your songs require like a really kind of a pure, kind of a softer, higher voice. But then there are times when you really need to, you growl things out, both your lines and your songs. And I don't know, you got to take care of your instrument.
Oh yeah, a lot of throat coat and a lot of water. We have actually, I think, two or three water bottles set up around the
okay.
stage.
Yeah, because you're on a lot too. Yeah, so yeah. I usually, like I use Vocal Zone and stuff like that. But throat coat is a real thing?
Yep. Oh yeah, it's
throat
a tea.
Coat with honey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I guess product placement. Well done, Braden.
Accidental.
I don't know if we're allowed to do that, but this is our first show. We can do anything we want. So let's see. You mentioned the music director, Cheryl Forrest mm-hmm. Morganson.
Yes.
How have you worked with her before?
No, Cheryl's relatively new to the area. She's at the U of I in the accompaniment master's program there. So she's done some vocal directing, and actually the way I came across her was she did vocal directing for Memphis last year at Parkland. And when I was looking for a music director, one of the cast members from that show said, hey, have you talked to Cheryl? She was really good to work with, and I think you would enjoy her a lot. And she has an excellent grasp of musicality, and because of her training in accompaniment and voice, she's very good to take care of our singers' voices. One of our first rehearsals with her, mm-hmm. she spent about 30 to 45 minutes going through, like, this is your instrument, this is how you take care of it, like the do's and don'ts, and go see a doctor if you have any question about how your voice is doing and how to be gentle with it. And she puts the cast through vocal warm-ups every night that are meant to help them be as clear and distinct as possible without doing any damage.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
So every night there's a routine.
Yep, every night before about, curtain goes up 7:30, about 6:50 we start warming up.
And you do that kind of en masse, everybody
yep,
together?
Everybody together.
Well, that's like also probably serves as a good kind of like show bonding.
Oh yeah, definitely,
sort of thing.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. We're all there as a cast, and it's really nice.
That's very cool. I didn't know there was a live orchestra because the pit mm-hmm. was closed.
Yes.
So was that a decision you made, or did that was just an item of necessity to not have the pit open?
So that was in consultation with Whitney, who, knowing that we wanted to work with a larger cast, and really the show necessitates having a larger cast, she just said, you know, the space looks really big when you're standing out in the audience looking at it, but when you're up there dancing on it, it gets really small really fast.
Mm-hmm.
So she had asked if we could please have the pit closed, and we agreed to that, and then we worked with Cheryl. They've done some shows there in the past where the pit has been hidden behind one side wall or the other. For this show, if you happen to go see it this weekend or next, the pit is hidden behind the house right side wall. And we worked with Brian Morgan, who's the artistic director at Parkland, to set up a series of monitors. So there's two monitors up in the walls so that our cast on stage can see Cheryl. And then Cheryl has one small monitor backstage to show her the stage. So she's using that as getting all of her cues from feedback on a small TV and doing an amazing job.
Yeah, I sat on the left side maybe in about the fifth or sixth row. And mm-hmm. I didn't know, I assumed that there was no live orchestra.
Yeah.
And it started and I was like, man, the sound is great.
Mm-hmm.
but too bad there's not a live orchestra. And so then, and so it was just out of my peripheral vision, I saw like arms go in, and then I was like, oh my gosh, there's a conductor. So then I had to actually do a little mental fact finding to figure out what was going on and where the orchestra was.
Yeah.
But it was really well done, and I thought that the balance of the sound with the and this was I saw the second show, and it seemed as though like all the glitches, in my opinion, were out in terms of how powerful the sound was going to be coming from the orchestra versus the mics. And I know that actually the News Gazette mentioned Igor. I don't know what night they saw that she mentioned Igor's mic didn't seem on enough or something like that, but I certainly didn't notice that in what I saw.
Well, we do have that sound system is brand new to Parkland this year. We are actually the first show getting to use that new sound system, so very excited to have new toys to play with. But it did take a little bit of figuring out what are the best levels. We had some interference with mics early on, so one mic would sort of cancel out another. So those are just things that we were fortunate that when you work with Parkland, you get that full week leading up to the show to be on the space, working with microphones, working with a live orchestra, and figuring out how all that sound balances and working out those problems.
Was that your only time with a live orchestra?
Let's see. The cast did a sits probe where they met up with them informally and sang through the entire show. I think Sunday before we opened, and then there was a rehearsal Monday. There was a rehearsal Tuesday. We had dress rehearsal Wednesday. So that was it. So those of you who happened to be there opening night heard the 5th rehearsal ever with the orchestra.
Where are the, I didn't see any of the mics coming down on the cheeks. Are they set up a different way?
Nope, they're
still
on
there.
Cheeks.
All right, well done, whoever does the taping.
They're hitting quite well. That's Nick Harris, who is a Parkland student, has been helping out with mics, and he's very clever about hiding those.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I want to test, since my intro music failed, I want to test our multimedia capability. Yeah. So tell me about Together Again for the first time. Set it up for me.
Brian, why don't you
do that? So Dr. Frankenstein, or as he calls himself, Frankenstein, because he wants to live down the family name, has just arrived in Transylvania. And he's at the Transylvania station. He's looking around for Igor and does not see him.
Igor.
Thank you. Igor comes on. And like they have this little scene, and then Igor says to him, "We'll be up with the world's greatest pairs," or something like that. And it's just kind of a song describing how Igor thinks their relationship will, what their relationship will turn into.
All right, let's see if we can hear just a little bit of that song.
Together again for the first time, back on the track to renown. We're gonna thrill them, we're gonna kill them. You'll be the
Is that you? Or is that Igor?
That's Igor.
And scare the blooming daylight right out of this town.
Stop it, stop, you don't understand. I'll only be here for a few days to settle my grandfather's estate. And then I am heading straight back to New York. No laboratories, no creatures.
Bet you change your mind, Moss.
Wonder if you change your mind or not. Going to try to studiously avoid spoilers on the show.
Yes.
So we won't get to find that out. I thought, you know, we probably should try to mention some people in the cast.
Sure.
But I thought that Igor was just amazing. And I wrote a little review after the show, and I just kind of were like, where did this person come from? Mm-hmm. Because, and she's another young person, right?
Yep.
She's just a freshman at Parkland. Out of Urbana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you... Like, let me just ask. So, did she audition for this role?
She did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So she had some familiarity with this character.
Oh, yes. She walked in, and she was one of actually two young women who came in and said, "I want to read for Igor." And I hadn't considered that, but I was like, I see no reason why not. So let's see what you got. And Autumn had actually come to auditions with a hoodie that she pulled up I think she like maybe stuffed something up in her shirt. I can't remember, but like she had the physicality, like she tilted her head and went very wide-eyed and just went for it. And she had the voice worked out. And it was just like, well, Yeah, that's, she pretty well nailed it. So
yeah, well, there is so much physicality in her, and I think in general, like, I don't, when I think of like physical comedy, I guess I think of stuff I don't really love that much, like Abbott and Costello or Three Stooges or something like that. And so, but I just, so it's a great thing about the show because I laughed my head off. But I wouldn't also say like, oh, it's just great physical comedy, but yet it is. So I don't know exactly how to express my enthusiasm for the way that the humor that you're able to bring to this. And I think, and that's one of the things I was marveling at, which it must have been amazing directing, but then also these cast members must have been kind of free to be their roles because there's so much going on at the state, going on all the time. And you had, let's see, Crystal Moya, I thought was hilarious.
She's an amazing Elizabeth.
So she was the fiance, right?
Yes, she played Elizabeth.
And so she is, I mean, I don't know which would be kind of like the sexy one. Which one, would you describe them both in their own
Absolutely.
Weird ways? Or would
it
have to be
So it's kind of like Betty and Veronica in the Archie comics, right? It's like they both bring their own sort of sexy quality to it.
Or Marianne Ginger.
Maybe. Or Marianne and Ginger. It's like you've got a hundred different archetypes of female sort of sexuality to work with there. And it's like Inga, I think, represents a little bit more of a wholesome, you know, country style, then that was Mallory Sellers, who's delightful.
I don't know if you can say
wholesome
after
is probably
that, after
not
that hayride.
Quite, yeah. So. I might be pushing it. And then Elizabeth is a little bit more, she's presented as being very refined, but early on, I think even as far back as auditions, I told them, like, so the thing about Elizabeth is she's very rich, she's very spoiled, and she's a little bit trashy.
Mm.
So I really loved what Crystal was able to bring to it and just have that sort of freedom to her.
Okay. Well, James Castry was the monster. I was... I don't want to give too many spoilers, but I mean, he was a great monster before he could sing, and then, wow. And along the lines of surprising things, where did you learn how to tap dance, man?
I had actually not tap danced before Newsies 2 years ago.
Oh, boy.
And I did that one show, and I had not tap danced since then. So
that was pretty extraordinary. And so I don't know what you do if you cast, if you have like the perfect Frederick Frankenstein, but he, or Frankenstein, sorry, who cannot dance, like how you,
well, you can't do that. Just, that's not even, that's just not an option. When Whitney and I, after we had callbacks, we kind of had our lists in front of us of like, well, I think that these five people would be kind of my top choices as potential victors or Fredericks or monsters. And she would come back and say, well, this person doesn't dance well enough for that part. It's like, so they can't be that part. And it's like, okay. She's like, look, I can teach a lot of people a lot of things, but teaching somebody to move and tap dance from scratch is not going to happen.
Right.
And it's like, that's fair. So it was an elimination process where we would go through and be like, okay, well, they were very charming. They read the role well, they sang well, but they just don't have the moves. And you had to have all three for this one, which fortunately Braden had it.
Triple threat, Braden Wambach. You have to see the triple threat in action. And you still have six more times to do that. And when are those shows, guys?
We have Friday and Saturday evenings at 7:30 and Sunday matinees at 3:00. And that's this weekend and next weekend.
Okay. So I saw it in a very full theater. Mm-hmm. So make sure you get out and see it soon. Mm-hmm. It's the only theater in town. Well, of course, there's Ebert Fest, which is maybe the reason why it's the only show going right now.
Yeah.
But come on, that's all sold out, and you can see that stuff on DVD. But you can't see this on DVD. Mm-hmm. You need to get out to Parkland, and six more shows. You can also go to parkland.com.
The website is theater with an R-E, theater.parkland.edu, and you can reserve your tickets right from the website. When you reserve them, you don't actually pay for them at the time. You're just saying, hey, I would like this many reserved for this day and time. Give them your name and your information, and when you show up at the box office, you pay for them then.
Okay. Well, thank you both for coming in, and good luck with the rest of your run. See you at the show gives 2 thumbs up. Now I have to be more original than that with Ebert in town. See you at the show gives... I'll have to work with my son. He's a creative one. We'll have a new system, but I guarantee that you will be in the 99th percentile because I've seen great shows at Parkland. I've seen Spamalot there. I've seen Evan Drew there. Both hilarious. I didn't laugh as much. And I seriously would have given a standing ovation at the end of the first act because it was just that good. And then you guys have...
You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM.